Ja, moin. Vielen Dank, dass ich hier bin.
Hello there. Thanks for coming.
Mein Name ist Ingvar Andersen.
I'm Ingvar Andersen, and while studying, I spend a lot of time doing everything but studying. And that's how it happened that I was often allowed to cook for a lot of people, and it always became more and more people, and I did it a bit more often. And that's how I learned how to cook for a lot of people, kind of learning by doing. People often said thank you, so I need to have done something right, and I had lots of people that always helped me, and eventually they started doing this alone, so I figured out what works and what doesn't. And at the last camp, we had some exchange between all the kitchen cells, and I realized when the good cooks talk about how it works, then the good cooks improve, but the people that never did this and that want to do this on their own, that's not helpful for them if only the expert talks among themselves. So now I'm giving this talk to teach to you how it works, how to cook chaos, how you cook for many people. All right. Right, so if you need to or want to or have to cook for many people, you're correct here, you don't need any previous experience, all you need is some preparation. And the goal of this talk is to show you what you can do ahead and how you can do this in such a way that during the event you have to do less. All right, so the goal is to have to do less to make it more effortless. And the idea is that the people coming to your event are not there for your cooking. They're there for something else, so you're more of a background role. But it's an important support, because everything is better when you're not hungry. All right, let's start. So what's the first step? The first step is doing the first planning before it even starts. And the most important thing is having a second cook. Right, so don't do this on your own. Look for a partner that you can talk with, that you can coordinate with, that you can ask things like, do potatoes really need 20 minutes? Yes, they indeed need 20 minutes, and then this is this way. Yes, or other things, interpreting recipes, figuring out how much is the right amount of salt. Right, so I can only say it again, you need a partner. Right. The next thing you need to figure out is a meeting with the main organizers from the event. They have lots of questions. Once the talk is over, you need to know what to ask, but the main questions are like, what time, how many people are they eating, sitting down or standing, so like, do they have cutlery or not? Yes, the kind of food you want to serve depends on whether they're eating, sitting down or standing up. The next question is, are they eating meat, are they vegan, are they vegetarian? I don't know how it was with you. When I was studying, I had a lot of computer scientists that never ate any vegetables. So they took out the bell peppers out of the curry. But on the other hand, I talked to other people where I had to cook vegan because they didn't eat meat. Right, so figure out what is your target audience and also look at what you want to cook. If you don't want to touch any meat, then don't cook with meat. And on the other hand, if you have no idea about cooking vegan, then perhaps cook something with meat so that you know what you're cooking. Right. And then, what you also want to do is do a trial run. You have to, before the event starts, cook the thing yourself once. Right. I recommend that you cook for about 10 people. Independently of how many people come, you want to cook for 10 people, and the leftovers you can put in the freezer. Why for 10 people? Because if you have 10 people, it scales up a lot better. Going from 10 to 50 is a lot easier than going from a smaller amount to 50. Right. You also have to go shopping for everything. You figure out how the supermarkt works. How much can I buy there? What do they have? How much do my cooking utensils fit? Is it enough to have a 10-liter pot for 10 people? Then I know I need a 60-liter pot for 60 people, but if my 10-liter pot is almost empty, I don't need a 60-liter pot. Right. Doing all of this, figuring all of this out, is why you need to do the cooking in advance once. Correct. Then we also have distributing all the tasks, which are all the tasks that are not extremely important, you need to give to other people. Everything like carrying stuff around, doing the dishes, cooking, slicing, stirring, all those things you can distribute to other people, and then you're very grateful that people do this for you and the work is being done. Yes, so make sure that you distribute the most things you can distribute and make sure that you have enough people that can help you. And also be aware that some people that want to help you won't be able to because they're too tired or maybe because they're drunk or maybe because of both. So if you have someone there cooking that is not doing his job, then maybe just send them away. That's maybe a bit unfortunate, but it's better than the alternative where you have someone that miscooks or spills something or something like this. Right, so make sure to avoid this. Yes. All right. Then we have a hygiene. There is something called the Hygiene Diploma in Germany, also called the Meatball Diploma, Frikadellen Diplom. Yes, whenever you give food to somebody that's not your own family, you need to have this basically because it tells you how to like wash your hands, how your fingers have to be clean, and so on and so forth. And you have to be healthy. Yes, whenever you're like sick, when you're having things dripping out of your nose, when you're sweating, this is not allowed to enter the food. So the people that are sick and so on, you also need to send them away because they're not helpful or they can't help you. Right. You need to have your helpers being in person there, have them sign a document where they confirm that they know that they're not allowed to be sick and so on. Because then you have it on paper, and then if you cook something and everybody gets food poisoning and the people get mad at you, you can show them the documents that you had signed, that everybody there knew the rules and was not sick and so on. And for this diploma that you can that the people need, you can send them to your local Gemeindebüro, or you can also do this online in Germany. Of course, this only applies to Germany. And the other thing is, of course, that you need to know how to deal with your foodstuffs. And the important thing is that when you cut something or something, when you take it just before you start about using it, you need to give it a sniff test basically and figure out whether this piece of food you can eat is good to eat or maybe it's gone bad. Right, you need to double check everything the last time before you use it. Right, because once you cut it up, you can no longer figure out whether it was good or not. And also you need to have like hygiene articles, you should have gloves, and you should also have Band-Aids. And gloves are often good also because you maybe want to have people that don't like touching meat, but that have to touch the meat anyways, then the gloves also come in handful. And Band-Aids, of course, to avoid the blood spilling into the food. And finally, beware of raw meat and raw eggs, like met or like raw beef or tiramisu, which also contains raw eggs. Try to avoid it because you really need to worry about like the cooling chain and the fridge size and so on. But maybe the first time you do it, avoid it. If you then figure out that all your fridges work all the time, then you can start doing it.
So now, logistics. It's very important. Right, so something that I'm tripping over every single time is like just writing a list for things to buy. It's really hard. And you should really take care that if you write that list and someone else goes shopping, you should check it, right? Someone, if you do it yourself, you should also check, right? Here's the pro tip. First check where you can buy things and where you can cook things, right? So scavenger hunt. So, for instance, if you go shopping in southern Germany, and you go by there, and then you basically you swap to a discounter in northern Germany, there's a high chance that something will just not be available. And we had that. So it's like it's something to really avoid, because it's not the same, especially geographically. You should really check what they have in store. You should check what kind of package size they have, and you should really check that in advance. Because, this, for instance, let's say there was this one time where I asked someone to go and buy like a giant bottle of ketchup, and damn, there was a lot of ketchup. And then there was the thing with the salad. I needed salad for 4 people, and basically. The other thing happened, so we just talked about like kilograms, not single portions. So you should really check, right, one meal, one kind of shopping list that you need to get. Okay, all right, second thing, cleaning and sorting things. You should really, you know, do it yourself, but if you have, at some point, experienced helpers, you can distribute it to them as well. It's really important. You will learn how good vegetables feel and how bad vegetables feel. That's something that you just learn by doing it, by feeling it, and that's something you really need to do because, again, hygiene. And it really prepares you, right, for the whole thing, because you need to cook with everything and, okay, right, next, how to build your kitchen. You can basically rent a lot of things from other organizations that be like helping you out. You just go to like firefighters or pathfinders, and they will usually just lend it out to you. Also, get your electricity going. So you should really check that in advance because you need a lot of power. You can distribute it using those cable drums, and you need a lot of them probably. And also pots, right? So check the size of the pots, check how many liters you can get into them. And if you have that, again, if you have the cables, you can really distribute it among the rooms, right? Next thing, cutting things. You need cutting boards and you need sharp knives, right? Just get the biggest boards you can get the sharpest knives you can get, and that will help you a lot. You can buy that as a kind of, you know, one-use, single-use items in, like, big discounters, same as with larger bowls, just, like, bring them. Same. Get big knives, get huge bowls, and if they're cheap, you can just buy them single-use, don't need to sharpen them, discard them in the end. And last but not least, before anything goes into the kitchen, you need to clean that manually, everything. There's like no compromise. I've seen too many bad things happening in kitchens. No, you will have to clean everything. Okay, preparation. Wash your vegetables, dice it, peel it, everything. You know, you can go. It's something that you can easily just prepare, right? And it's also, it will maintain fresh for a few hours. Let's say a tomato, right? So you wash it, you dice it. They will lose some moisture, but they will not go bad. Just like salads, right? Like salads and like cold side dishes, they can be prepared days in advance without spoiling. And that's something you should really do. And that way, you can kind of put your helpers to use in advance and kind of schedule the whole logistics behind it. The salad will be nice. But it's something, you know, that will not remain in memory. So it's something, you know, you have it, but you should really focus on something else. All right. Next thing, get a KitchenAid. A lot of people actually have that, and it kind of is very useful because it cuts everything into very, very homogeneous dices. Next. Instruct your helpers. Not everything has to be perfect, as in like Michelin star kitchens, right? You just need the onion to be diced, not finely super duper diced. let's say you have a chili con carne and you kind of dice your stuff and you boil it, you know, for hours. You really don't need to care about the size of the dice, just like, you know, that it's like about right. The next thing is, basically, hygiene again, also while cutting things, right? So you basically have two bowls, for instance, have one for the fresh stuff and the diced stuff. So kind of separate the dirt from everything else. If there's like, exactly. So for instance, if you like clean onions, right? You clean it, you cut it, you put it into the clean bowl and everything else that's on the table, you will basically trash in the end, clean it, and then everything's great. Right, so designate zones on your table where you work to kind of optimize your logistics in the end and also to maintain hygiene. And now, the core of everything, cooking. Now, third critical operation. You can only do one thing at a time. Can kind of try to multitask, but you know it will not work out in the end. So, basically, here's the example. You put one hand at a pan and one of the kind of the spatula, and then you work. But you work in front of you, and you only do one thing at a time. There's, you know, there's a lot of power, there's a lot of heat involved, so there's a lot of chemistry working at the same time, so you really need to take care. You can't, like, explain things to other people while doing it. You can't, like, you know, distribute tasks while kind of trying to make sure that your meal is actually prepared and not burned. So do one thing at a time, get your helpers distributed to the helpers and focus on the task at hand. Okay, so of course, first of all, you'll always be, the first time that you do anything, you are nervous. You will be nervous, of course. So, you know, focusing on one thing, very good. Next thing, stirring. Do not stir. You really need to basically go down into the pot and bring everything up. If you have a huge pot, then there will be this layer at the bottom that has a lot of heat, and the other thing, the other stuff on top, will not get it. So you really need to account for the volume of the pot and don't just treat it as a flat pan. And that way you get a more homogeneous preparation of your meal, and everything will be done more homogeneous and like will be done in time. Also, think about it, a lot of water needs a lot of time to boil. So if you scale it, well, also think about the time that's scaling. Right. For instance, you can put a larger pot on the same stove that you're using at home, but only because you know, crank up the pot and you crank up maybe the size of whatever, it will just not be hotter. It's, you know, you have a limited transfer of energy per time that you need to account for. Then, next thing, spices. If you want to get anything spicy on a level like a goulash or a chili, then restrain yourself. Because after spicy, there is inedible for most people. So you really want to like go only 95%, and then basically have a reserve of spices and like other things, like for instance peppers or bell peppers for the spicing. And basically, if you overdo it, then you will have to counter that, and then you will have to spend more spices to kind of bring it up to the level again. So really kind of approach it from the bottom limit here. And now, point 8, serving things. So, first of all, just like keep your meals warm. It's better than being late, right? So again, prepare in advance. Do something like a curry, like a goulash, something that you can just prepare in advance and just like keep warm on like a low heat. It's way better than like having schnitzel or like frikadels, something that you really need to serve out of the pan. It will make your life much easier. And if you think about a lot of people, right, then you will need to think about a lot of dietary restrictions, but everyone can eat anything. So that's one thing. And the other thing is also side dishes. So for instance, let's say, it really think about that you have as much, like for instance, sauce as you have the main dish. Let's say you want to have as much like pasta as you need for the sauce and vice versa. Right, you need to split it in the end. And this is also very important to split your meal fairly because everyone wants to have about the same portion size. Right, so you basically want to serve, sure, whatever, but only do that for like 15 minutes. You had a lot of things to do. You had all the logistics, you had all the cooking, you had everything. And first of all, it's the adrenaline that keeps you going. But after those 15 minutes, you will just shut down. It's like after sports, right? You just had a match, you just had a... Because that's like really exhausting. So get some people, get some helpers that will distribute the food for you.
Coming to the next point, cleaning up. It's always at the end of the event when you notice that you didn't plan for anyone to help you with the cleanups, and that's where the issue starts. Actually, after cooking, nobody really wants to clean up, but it's something that's really necessary that gets done. And literally, almost everyone can do that. So try to schedule helping hands ahead of time, and also teach people how to let things soak in properly. For instance, if you have a pan that is full of oil, you don't want to put it in a container with water and trying to get it cleaned that way. Be careful about that, please. So, coming to some stumble points. The idiots. Be prepared to have idiots around you. There is always at least two people who are not capable of thinking with you and about things from A to Z and will do stupid things. So be prepared for that. Imagine I am the one that cooked and you're coming to me. Most people is going to say thank you, and some people will come and say nothing, and then you'll have some people that come and be like complaining about everything. Be prepared for that too. When you're with your team in the kitchen, you are the person that's cooking and everybody else doesn't.
Aus seinem Freundeskreis oder aus seiner Familie halt irgendwie Allergiker ist oder sonst was und der muss jetzt schnell noch mal irgendwas kochen für die.
For instance, if you have someone who's like there and saying, hey, I have this person who's very allergic and needs to do things at the same time to you, you're still going to have a very big, messy thing. If someone needs to cook something additionally for people that have allergies and you didn't account for those allergies, let them cook afterwards. Another important point, someone who is actually allergic to things will know their allergies. Sometimes you have people who are friends of people that have allergies and come and think they need to take care of those allergies, but they probably often don't properly know what to do, and also that consumes lots of your energy. So it's a lot easier to say, hey, I'm sorry, we didn't account for this allergy. Please understand that. Maybe we can find something else, but don't let them cook at the same time as you're cooking. Another point, it's better to give vague announcements of what the food is. So instead of say, hey, there's going to be noodles with something tomato-ish sauce and cheese, that way is better than saying there's going to be noodles with parmesan, and then it's actually not this sort of parmesan people would expect, and then it's going to be a drama. Or if you talk about pudding and you say we're going to have a vanilla pudding, people will expect vanilla pudding. And then if in the end, for whatever reasons, you would have chocolate and vanilla pudding, it's actually better to have announced, to have said, hey, there's going to be pudding. The other important part is physics. Heat comes and goes, but very, very slowly. So be prepared for that, that it takes time for things to heat up properly and also for things to cool down, especially when you have big volumes of food or quantities in general.
Und danach ist das Essen halt wieder auch so kühl, dass es dann sofort gegessen werden will. Also dann müssen die Gäste schon da sein.
So account to that as well with your timing. Another point, it's very, very important to be careful when you want to spill out the hot water from a thing. That's very, very dangerous. And especially when you have a big, big pot, if you let the water spill out of the pot, that's really, really dangerous, and you are very likely to burn yourself. So do it very, very slowly, do it in small intervals, or ideally take a...
Es ist besser, als dass ihr euch den Unterarm oder eine Hand verbrüht. Ja, knackiges Gemüse, hatte ich schon gesagt, mit Eiswasser kann man es abschrecken. Okay. Ich würde euch verzichten, irgendwas mit knackigem Gemüse zu machen. Das gleiche
right. I recommend that you don't do things with fresh vegetables. And also a thing you can't do is cook pasta al dente. Right, this doesn't work. If you need to really cook pasta in a large amount, then you have the hot pasta that is now properly cooked al dente as you would want it. Now you put it in a large pot and it will stay warm for 10 or 20 or 30 more minutes. And during that time, it will continue to cook a bit. So your noodles, your pasta are going to be more soft than you would want them, and you won't be able to avoid this. All right, so now I said everything for you that is important to you. And now all of the things I told you earlier are really important. If you only do one meal on one evening, then you can ignore half of the things I told you earlier. Maybe you will be a bit more stressed, but it's going to be fine. Because it's only one of them. You can just power through it and it will be over. But of course, if you cook for several days in a row, you really, really need to follow all the things I told you. Yes, otherwise you basically burn out after day one. All right, so here are some helpful ideas. The things you want to really cook are like stews, potato stem, goulash, other kind of stews or curry. All the things that you can cook in one pot and that do not go bad when you cook them for like 5 minutes too long. This is great. You have it in a large pot. You can prepare it. It will stay warm. If you have the potato stem for 50 people, it will just stay warm in the pot for an hour. And that's great because then the 50 people can, within that hour, get it. And nobody will notice. It's going to be fine. Right. So I can just say again, potato stem for 50 people, it's just great. Once it's warm, it will stay warm, as we learned. All right, the other thing, if you have something that has a surface and wants to be fried, like a steak, a schnitzel, fish sticks, don't do this. It will not be fun. If you have to fry like 300 fish sticks for 50 people, you need a large amount of surface area in your pan. And it will just take a lot of time. And then everybody needs to collect it. Right, so don't do this. Or maybe if you want to do it, don't do it when you're cooking for people for the first time. Do it once you have experience in serving and frying and knowing who else can fry and stir and so on and so forth. Right. And then finally, things like a steak that you need to cook to a specific point, right, like medium rare or whatever. This don't, just no. No steak. If you have more than four people that you're cooking steak for, maybe you did this once, it won't be fun. And just imagine how it will be like for 50 people. Okay, right. And now the second nice trick, have side things. Right, you can focus on like the main dish. And then you have some helpers that can prepare some kind of salads, like couscous salad, potato salad, pasta salad. They can prepare this in advance, it's fine. And you can make your fancy main dish. It can be a piece of meat. It doesn't have to be a piece of meat, but yeah, you can focus on it. Maybe something you fry some onion, you fry some tofu, you fry some meat, or you cook the stew meat. It has to cook for some time. It needs to be seasoned properly. It needs to be of the right consistency, right? This will bind you, will take a lot of your time, but it will be fun. And this is what you want to focus on. You want to have like the one large pot for the people that do it, for the 50 people you're cooking it, or maybe in two pots, this will still work. Then it's like for 100 people. But yeah, what you really want to do is use side dishes in order to reduce the amount of things you have to cook. So you have to cook less of the main dish, it becomes easier. Other people can prepare the salad on the side. Yes, right. You just have to cook less of things. Right. Just to say it again, the really important thing, the main dish, will get smaller. Yes, again, when seasoning, do it piece by piece. Don't put everything in all at once. Finally, also have some extra food stuff that you can use to inflate the amount of food. Like have some cans of tomatoes you can just put in, and then if 20 additional people show up that you didn't expect, then all the plates will get a bit more tomatoes, a bit less meat, but nobody will realize. But the extra spoons of tomato sauce, they will maybe feed those 20 people. Right. So have something to inflate your food with. And finally, make things look nice. If you're able to take the cheapest possible salad, you put it in a bowl, and you put some chives on it. You cut them nicely, and you put them on top. People will say that they can taste that you made the salad yourself, even though all you did was buy the cheapest possible thing. Right, just put one tiny piece of tomato on top of things, one tiny amount of herbs or something. This will make it more tasty, and people will really appreciate that, and it will make people think your food is a lot better. All right. Finally, having one helper is able to do food for 20 people, and then if you have another helper, this will be able to do 20 more people. Right, so this is kind of how you can figure out how many helpers you need. Yes. One person is 15. One helper. Two helpers is 40, three helpers is 60, and four helpers is already 100, right? So it scales more than linear. This is like one helper working for 2 hours, right? And then you need to distribute cleverly, right? Two helpers do some of the preparation, the two others actually do the cooking, right? Here are some recipe suggestions. You need to read them. Potato stamp with sauerkraut and sausages, or macaroni and cheese with salad. It's also very easy. Everybody can do this. Alternatively, we have a chili or a goulash or a curry. There's lots of recipes. Just stick to one. Or alternatively, you do some kind of stew or pot roast, where you just throw everything into one pot, also works. What you can also do is barbecuing, but this is a bit different. When you do barbecue, people are used to queuing, but when you do mac and cheese, people are not used to queuing. So when you do barbecuing, queuing is fine. And also what you can do is just serve bread with sausages or cheese or whatever. Right, you need to go shopping for an hour, you need to slice it up for an hour, and it's also very cheap. Right. Okay, right, that's the end of it. This is my private email address. If you need help, just write to me. I'm happy to answer your questions. All right. Right. Apparently, I misspelled the email address. There should be an N in there. Oops.
Ja, da hat mich der Jabot vorhin abgelenkt. Dann, es gibt auch noch das Frikadellendiplom hier vor Ort.
This just got me a little bit distracted. On top of that, there is the diploma for some stuff that you can get done at the C3 Yellow. It's on today at 2 p.m. on the SOS stage H, on day 2 on 4 p.m. at the CERT assembly, and on day 3 at 11 a.m. again at the CERT assembly. So now people can ask some questions.
Also, falls ihr Fragen habt, ich helfe euch gerne. Genau, ihr könnt euch gerne an die Mikros stellen, wenn ihr Fragen habt.
Ja. Ah, oh, es gibt eine Frage.
Dann oh, there's a question. Microphone 1. So, in the announcement, you mentioned some stuff as well. Do you have tips for the organization to make that thing happen?
Well, it's a lot of fun. So, basically, it's like, you know, if you go to the library on Sunday, you can learn, but there's no food. So there's always people that want to have food. So just put them in the kitchen and they will have fun. Like, if you put all the logistics and you put the stuff to cook thing, like, they will have fun. It's just a little Legos, right? You put everything and you just let the people go loose and they will have fun. I promise you. And most important thing, put the people, like, let the people distribute the food that have cooked the meals themselves. And it's just great to look into their faces, like, you know, all bright and stuff.
Microphone 3. You just mentioned the barbecuing. Do you have tips for live cooking?
Ooh. Less so. Well, I usually did that by myself with the kitchen tent with all the people in there. That's a bit hectic and a bit stressful, but I never did live. I mean, on the barbecue, maybe? Yeah, that's technically live, so I can, like, you know, get to the barbecue and, like, just turn around some meat and stuff.
Thank you lots for the tips. I regularly have the situation where I have people that don't have any other options of eating somewhere else, and I always get more people with more allergies, and sometimes these allergies contradict each other. Do you have tips on how to deal with that?
No. So, I mean, you did a vegan, of course, but a lot of allergies are just, you know, they're just bad. You know, you can't really do anything against it, but just, like, choose your meals wisely and check allergens in beforehand. You know, like, for instance, go with, like, you know, if you kind of, you know, scavenge what allergies are there, you can just do whatever, focus on, like, preparing the meals, but you cannot fit everyone. If you have side dishes, there are side dishes, like, have a side dish that can be eaten by everyone, of course, and then maybe you will have multiple sauces. It's really hard to give an answer, like, on the spot.
Question from the internet. Do you have tips for calculating the quantities and how to get good recipes for that?
So one person needs about 4 to 500 grams of food per meal. Oh yeah, of course. Like, I forgot something to tell you. If you have, like, side dishes, then at some events you will have these sponsored, like, coffee, like, pots, whatever. You could just take them and just fill them with, like, pudding and stuff. So, you know, then you kind of reduce the amount of food that you have to prepare. I mean, like, you know, boiling pudding is not really cooking at all. But again, like, 400 to 500 grams of food per one single dish, per one single person. So just take about, like, 300 to 400 grams of just raw food, and then to count for water that you will add.
Ich habe einen schamlosen Werbeblock, und zwar.
I'm going to make some advertisement.
Mehrmals habe ich für Jugendgruppen gekocht, und dafür.
I've used to cook for youth events and wrote software to calculate that. It's called Futter.rocks, so translated food.rocks, but it's in German.
Also, wenn man Jugendgruppen hat, wo die
unterschiedlich specifically for youth groups. And it will help you also make a grocery list.
Futter.rocks.
The URL is futter.rocks again. And it, like, gives you also a grocery list.
Kannst du zum Thema Wasser- und Abwasserversorgung noch was sagen?
Could you also talk a little bit about water and wastewater?
Well, yeah, I could cook, but the technical side of things I kind of have to give to the other people. I have no idea how to contact them. Maybe you can ask the lady in red behind you. No, sorry, no, never mind.
Okay, also outsourcen.
Tut mir leid. Ja, outsourcen.
Yeah, so einfach, just like outsource it.
Another question from the internet.
Die Frage aus dem Internet hat sich praktisch direkt erledigt gerade.
It just got solved. Yeah,
perfekt. Dann denke ich, ihr wisst, wie ihr Inga erreichen könnt.
Yeah. Okay, so I think you know how to reach out to Inga. Thanks for the applause.
Thanks for listening to the English translation.